cement for arranging another semester of our learning together. We shouldn't take it for granted. She does a lot for me personally to allow me to be here. And thank you to all of you for continuing to come to the shiurim. We did okay, source sheets. Everyone has a copy. Made it around? Okay. Let's begin with a very simple question. Each of the exiles of Jewish history, each of our enemies in Jewish history, was trying to target a specific aspect of the Jewish people. Haman wanted to kill the Jewish people. He wanted to physically destroy us. Hanukkah is a spiritual war, and it's important for us to understand exactly what Yavan had a problem with. Because to make it simple and to say that the Greeks hated the Jews would be inaccurate. It would be a poor way to understand really what we're fighting for and struggling with and for on Hanukkah. And I want to begin by asking that question. What exactly did the Yavanim oppose? We know the answer, but I want to see it in the words of the Maharal. Okay, let's learn together from the Maharal in source number one, the Sefer Ner Mitzvah, where the Maharal explains what was it that they were so against. The Greeks were people who were thinkers, they were cultured. There's a lot of good qualities. In fact, the Zohar says that the wisdom of Yavan, in many ways, is the closest thing to Torah. But that's exactly where the problem begins. Maharal writes in source number one, Ki kol inyan hamalchus zeh, shayim mevakshem hachachma. The Greeks, or the Syrian Greeks, the Yavanim, were obsessed with wisdom. And one should be obsessed with wisdom. To develop the mind, to nurture one's thoughts, to have a way of living, to be a thinking human being. There are people who go their whole life without thinking. The Yavanim were obsessed with thinking and analyzing and understanding and philosophizing. That's all very holy in a certain sense. But the notion that there was a certain wisdom that can't always be understood, a certain wisdom that transcended human intellect, a system of living that wasn't always rational, didn't always make sense, which is what the Torah is. As we say in the Tefillah of Chanukah, the Yavanim came, La'avira mechukei ritzonecha. They wanted to undermine the chok of the Torah. Chukim and mishpatim. Mishpatim are those aspects of Torah that we think we understand, the logical sections of Torah, the logical mitzvahs of Torah. Chukim represent those mitzvahs that we don't understand. Chukei ritzonecha. It's Hashem's ratzon, it's Hashem's desire. And everything had to make sense to the Yavanim. They wanted to understand. And the notion that there's a certain wisdom that transcends human intellect was very bothersome to them. So yes, they came with a focus to negate the Torah and to destroy Torah study from Klal Yisrael. Ki lo hayu rotzim shetia chachma beprat shehi yoser chachma vehi yoser el yona min hachachma ha'enoshis shehi lehem. Again, they couldn't grasp the concept, and they couldn't be so well such an idea, that there's a wisdom that is beyond this world. It's yoser el yona min hachachma ha'enoshis. How could there be a system that I can't understand? And how can that be more correct? And how could God transpose that system into this world and place it upon us if we can't even understand it? That itself is a contradiction. But that's exactly what Torah is. Torah is the source, the supernal source of all wisdom. And this type of learning is a uniquely Jewish type of learning. What we call Torah, it's not another class, it's not just another system of ideas, it's a way of thinking and a way of living that is uniquely Jewish. In fact, the Gemara says in several places you're not allowed to teach Torah to the Umas HaOlam, to the nations of the world. And there's something very personal in our relationship with Torah as it relates to how we understand Hashem that's uniquely Jewish. It's not that they can't understand it. There are people in South Korea who study the Talmud in order to enrich their minds. It's not that we think that we're smarter than everyone else, even though we happen to be a pretty smart, you know, group of people, right? But it's a type of learning, it's a way of connecting that's called Torah. It's not just Chachma. As the Medrash explains, and he quotes the Medrash on the Pasuk in Eicha, the fifth line, Malka v'sareha bagayim ein Torah, im yomer lecha adam yesh Chachma bagayim, tamen. If someone tells you there are really smart, capable people in the world, absolutely, we'd be liars to say otherwise. Shenemar v'avadati chachamim me'edom usvuna mehar esav. Im yomru yesh Torah bagoyim al tamei. But if someone tells you that the world also has Torah, no, you're misusing the word Torah. There's no such thing as another Torah. It's one of the 13 principles of our faith. The Torah will never be replaced by another Torah. There will be other ideas, and many of them will fit with Torah. The Torah is the root of all wisdom. People in the world can have all sorts of chachma, but Torah, we have to understand what the word Torah means. Torah is something else. It's not just a system of living. It's not just a way of thinking. It's something that transcends this world. It's the wisdom of Hashem Himself. And therefore, writes the Maharal in very strong words where it's bolded, V'lakach ha-malchus he-me-yavanim. And therefore, this kingdom that we call the Syrian Greeks, lo-hayu misnagdim li-Yisrael ki-im b'torasam. They didn't not like Jews. They were not trying to harm us. They didn't like Torah. They didn't like this notion that we live differently. And it's something that we basically take the approach, well, you can't really understand it. What do you mean? We're smart enough. It's not about smart enough. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of living. And therefore, they fought against the Torah. They fought against the Beis HaMikdash, which was that center of Torah living and learning. And they felt threatened by it, says the Maharal, ki ein gibor miskane ela begibor kemosa. Who do I feel threatened by? There's amazing studies about this. A person who wins a silver medal in the Olympics and a person who wins a bronze medal in the Olympics, who do you think is happier? The studies say that people who win silver, it's much harder. I feel bad for all the silver medalists, you know, of history. Bronze, it's like, okay, at least I got a medal. Silver, but I could have had gold. I was so close to having gold. I can't enjoy silver because I'm so close to gold. That's exactly what the Zohar says about Chochmas Yavanis. It feels so threatened by Torah because legitimately it is in second place. It's the second greatest way of thinking. But it's not Torah. And therefore, again, in the words of the Maharal, one who is powerful and strong feels threatened by the one who's just a little bit stronger than he or she is. And therefore they fought against Torah. They fought against this notion, as he says in the last couple of words, that the Jewish people should have a maila elokis. That there should be, again, some type of transcendent, godly way of thinking, of being. They couldn't grasp such a notion. Sometimes we ourselves can't grasp such a notion. You know, we talk about Torah and we learn Torah, but we sometimes ourselves, we don't. And Hanukkah gives us that opportunity to maybe reflect a little bit. Again, this sounds a little bit cliche, but if we really stop and think about it on Hanukkah, it's a very, very meaningful thing to think about. That Torah is different than the other things that I learn. To really think, to meditate on that idea, to daven over that idea, to stare at the candles on Hanukkah for a couple of minutes and think about that. What would my life look like without Torah? How much would I be able to figure out in terms of what's moral, what's ethical, what's right, how to live, what to do? We think about that. Is it just another way of living? Is it just a slightly nuanced, more elevated way of engaging life? Or is it something totally different that the world doesn't understand and we ourselves most of the time don't even fully appreciate? There's an amazing teaching from the Baal Shem Tov in source number 2. The tzaddikim say that the Baal Shem Tov once said, "I efshar lahazbir l'goy maze Yehudi." You can't explain to someone who's not a member of our people. It's very hard to put into words what makes a Jew a Jew. You kind of have to be it to be one to know one. Now the Baal Shem Tov came along and said, "The truth is, my grandfather said an important point, but I'll go one step further. Va'ani omer, shegam li-Yehudi i'efshar lahazbir ma'ze Yehudi. Even to ourselves it's hard to put it into words. What makes a Jew a Jew? We feel it's special. What makes the Torah different? Why is it different? What is it about it that's so different? What couldn't the Yavanim grasp? Do we appreciate it?" And what Rav Baruch of Mezhbuzh, the grandson of Baal Shem Tov, is saying is that on a certain level, we ourselves don't understand what it is. We don't understand who we are. Right? If you ask us to put it into words, so we try to explain. We try, and amongst ourselves, maybe it's a little easier to explain. But even to ourselves, we don't fully grasp what it is. And therefore, Hanukkah gives us a chance to stop and to reflect. To think about, wow, what is it to be a Jew? What is it to have Torah? What would my life look like without it? It's hard enough to find a shidduch if you're Jewish. Imagine if there were 7.5 billion people on planet Earth who were, in theory, shaykh. If I could eat at any restaurant, it's hard enough to pick where to, you know, pick up something to eat from the kosher restaurants. Imagine if I could just go in anywhere and eat anything, or date anyone. That's like a crazy notion. And that's just a practical benefit of Torah. Obviously, that's not even, you know, the tip of the iceberg. In this week's parasha, Yosef HaTzadik is given a very, very difficult challenge. Here he is, he's a lonely man of faith, he finds himself in Mitzrayim, he's trying to maintain his identity, and he's in a place that is so far into everything that he knows. He has all the excuses in the world because he was sold by his own family members. He has every reason to go off the derech, so to speak. And Yosef somehow finds this awesome strength, and that's part of what we're talking about today. Being connected to Torah and being a Jewish person comes with a certain supernatural strength that we sometimes don't appreciate. The pasuk says that when Yosef is struggling with Eishes Potiphar, "V'tispesayu bebigdo lemor shechva imi," she grabs him by his garment. "V'yazov bigdo biyalda," and when she asks of him the unthinkable, Yosef slips out, leaves his garment behind. "V'yanos v'yetze hachutza," and he runs outside. Okay, that's what happened. He physically ran outside and left his jacket behind. But the truth is, we've seen this word hachutza before, no? Who else went outside? And what did outside mean over there, and how does it help us understand what happened here with Yosef? So we skip over source number 4 for just a moment. In Parshas Lech Lecha, if you remember, Avram Avinu had a lot of questions about his future. What's going to be with me? Am I going to have children? Who's going to inherit me? I'm working so hard for you, God. You don't seem to be taking care of me. And Hashem says, Avram, let's step outside. In source number 5, Vayotze oso achutza, Hashem grabs Avram by the hand, he walks him outside. Vayomer habeitna shemaima, look at the heavens. Count the stars if you're able to. Ko yihyeh zarecha. Interesting, ko. You can't see the word ko, chafhei, this time of the year without thinking a little bit about Chanukah. Chafhei is a significant word, a significant number. But what does Rashi explain? What does it mean, Vayotze oso achutza? He took him outside, and they looked at the stars. Was Avram looking up at the stars? According to Chazal, he was looking down at the stars. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Avram hachutza. Hachutza means he took Avram beyond this world. Avram, you're looking at the stars and you think based on the mazel, based on the astrology, based on the alignment, based on physical reality, I'm not going to have a child. My doctor has sworn to me, you'll never have children. But Hashem all of a sudden says, hold on. You're not bound by the stars. You're not bound by physical reality. You're Avram Avinu, you're the first Jew. Vayotze oso achutza, he takes him outside. Says the Gemara in source number 7, and Rashi paraphrases it for us there on the spot in Lech Lecha, but let's look at the Gemara itself in source 7. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, minayin she'ein mazel liyisrael. How do we know that Jews are not bound by mazel? The whole world of the Greeks was rooted in the mazalos, an understanding of the mazel. A certain heavenly rotation. Sfasemis writes in one place that the word that we use to describe the rotations, when the Rambam describes in Yesodei HaTorah, things that, you know, scientifically we don't understand, philosophically we don't really understand, very hard sections of the Rambam, but when he describes the rotations, the natural movements of the constellations, he always talks about the galgal, the revolutions. The Sfasemis says galgal is Gematria Yava, 66. That naturalness, the patterns, the teva, the natural order of things. The way we expect things to be. And the way that it often is. But once in a while, Hashem has to grab a Jew by the hand, v'yotze oso achutze, he drags Avram outside, he says, hold on a second. Yeah, there is a natural order, I'm not denying that. There's a scientific reality, that's true. We could study that. We could learn about that, and we could choose to live within that. And most of the time, yeah, a lot of our life does feel like we live within that. But you could also live beyond that. You're Avram Avinu. Says the Gemara, Minayin Shein Masli Yisrael. How do we know Jews are not bound by the stars? Shenamar Vayotze Oso Achutza. It's this very pasuk in Lech Lecha that Hashem took Avram outside. What does outside mean? Amar Avram Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram says to God, Ribono Sholam, Ben Beisi Yorish Osi. I am so frustrated. Eliezer is going to be the continuation of my legacy. That's the best you have to offer me? He's a great guy, Eliezer. He's a great student. But I want a child. I want my own child. Amr lo, la. Hashem says, what are you talking about? Ki masher yetzei mimeyecha. The one is going to come from your own loins, from yourself. You're going to produce your own child, a biological heir. Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, Avram says, God, I want to believe you, but nistakalti bitstagninos sheli. I've looked at my mazel. I studied the stars. Avram was a pretty capable and bright individual. He knew a thing or two about analyzing reality. He said, I see the reality. I don't know what you're talking about, God. I see that I'm not going to have a child. Ve'eno roi laholid ben. I studied my biology. I've studied my astronomy. I've studied my astrology. I've seen it all. What's beyond that? Hashem says, there's a lot beyond that. And you're from the world that's beyond that. Amar lei tzei me'etzagninus shalcha she'ein mazel l'Yisrael. Avraham Avinu, get out of your own way and realize that you don't understand yourself. Forget explaining yourself to your idolatrous community of Orkastim. You yourself don't understand yourself. Like Rav Baruch of Mezhbush said, it's hard to explain to a Jew what a Jew is. So Hashem grabs him by the hand and takes him outside and takes him beyond this world. As Rashi quoted back in source number 6, Hotziu mechalalo shel olam, he took him beyond the space of this world to show Avram, you're not bound by natural order. You have the ability to go beyond that. And with this, we come back to our parsha. By Avram, it's vayotze oso hachutza. By Yosef HaTzadik, what does it say? In that moment of temptation, this handsome young man who's being seduced for over a year in the house of Potiphar, and every technique she could possibly think of to try to get Yosef to sin with her, and somehow Yosef finds the strength to what? To tap into that world called Hachutza, to step outside. He didn't just run out of her house. He entered into that place that Hashem took Avraham many years before. Explains the Eretz Tzvi in source number 4. The Medrash makes this connection. Hachutza, Hachutza. Vayonas vayetze Hachutza bizchus avos. Where did Yosef find the strength to run outside? How do we find the strength when we're in a moment of great nisayon, whatever it may be? How do we find the strength to be bigger than natural reality? But my friends, that's what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is all about the giborim, the big ones, fall to the hands of the chalashim. Yeah, the so-called weak ones. We find the strength to overpower them. They may be the rabbim and we're the ma'atim. We find the strength to beat them. They may be the Tameim and we're the Tahorim. There might be a lot more Tumah than there is Tahor or Kedusha, but somehow Kedusha has to win. Mashiach has to come. The Jewish people might be a small people, and at times we look like a weak people, and we sometimes seem like an oppressed people, but we're guaranteed to win. But Tischak Liom Acharon, we get the last laugh. That's how Hashem runs the world. So says the Medrash, where did Yosef HaTzadik, this young, handsome individual, who's literally being seduced by a beautiful woman in a place called Ervas Haaretz, Mitzrayim was the capital of sexually immoral behavior, sold out by his own brothers, abandoned, at least as far as he understood, by his father. How does he say no to her? And the answer is, Bizchus Avos. Just like Avram was Yotze Oso Achutza, Yosef was able to go Achutza. Explains the Eretz Tzvi of Aryeh Tzvi Fromer. Hashem should avenge his blood. He was one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmi Lublin. He died at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. V'nired hinei od b'medrash rabba. He quotes another medrash. First medrash makes the link between Yosef and Avram, Hachutza. Says the medrash, Matrona shala es Rabbi Yossi. A Roman matron, a Roman noblewoman, once came to Rabbi Yossi and said, I think the Torah is lying. I think the Torah is covering up for Yosef HaTzadik. There's no way he made that choice in the house of Potiphar. The Torah is, you know, it's revisionist history. She says to Rabbi Yossi, Efshar Yosef ben Yud Zayin Shana, Haya Omeid B'chol Chomo. How could it be such a passionate, young, handsome man, Haya Osa Dabar Azeh, and he runs out of Eishes Potiphar? I don't believe it. And Rabbi Yossi says to her, read the rest of the Torah. We have some scandalous things written in the Torah. We don't cover up. When we make mistakes, we own up to our mistakes. But what was she saying to him? What didn't she understand? Explains the Eretz Tzvi. In this week's Parsha, V'nira deba'emes ein zebekach ha-teva. What she was saying is, it's not natural, it's not humanly possible for Yosef HaTzadik to refuse her advances. It's not normal, there's something wrong with him. And Rav Yossi says, it's not that there's something wrong with him, it's just that he's created differently. It's the Vayetze Yosef HaChutza of Avram Avinu that gave him the strength. Ach kol ish Yisrael. Look at these words in the third line, fourth line. Kol Ish Yisrael Yesh Lo Kochos Gevoim Lamala Min HaTeva. Jews have a shaychus to something called Hachutza, a world that's beyond this world. Let's come back to Hanukkah for a second. Let's think about Hanukkah for a second. Why did the miracle take place with oil? What's the nature of oil? It's unbelievable how Hashem programmed oil. You take oil and you mix it in with a little bit of water. What happens to the oil? It rises up. How does the oil know to rise up? Why did Hanukkah take place with the miracle of oil? Why 8 days? Why not 4 days? Why not 22 days? Why 8 days? What does the number 8 represent? What does oil know how to do? It's always gravitating upwards. When you light that flame, what is the flame doing? As you look at your menorah, the whole time it's jumping. It's trying to be l'malam in a teva. It wants to almost live beyond the wick, beyond the kli, beyond the menorah. It's always striving for more. The way we light the menorah is mosif aholech. It's always reaching higher. The Jewish people are l'malam in a teva. We're beyond this world. The nature of Shemen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed it to rise up. Everything of Hanukkah has to do with the number 8. We think about the jar that had the stamp of the Kohen Gadol who wore 8 special garments. The menorah lasted for 8 days. The Chashmonaim has the word Shmona in it. Shemen is the word Shmona. The same letters as Neshama, the part of you that's transcendent, that's beyond this world. So of course it wants to rise up. Of course it wants to be beyond. The Maharal talks about it all over the place in his writings. That the number 7 represents the natural order of things. 7 days in a week. 7 years in a Shemitah cycle, 7 cycles of 7 in a Yovel cycle. 7 represents Olam Haza, Teva. 8 is Lamala in a Teva. 7 notes in a musical scale. David HaMelech dreams of the time, Lam Natzeach al Shminis. There's going to be an 8th note in the musical scale. What do you mean? It's not. There can't be an 8th note in the musical scale. When you get to 8, you're back to 1. You're back to the root note. But we dream of the possibility of what? Of something called 8, a world that's beyond this world. That's Shemen, that's 8 days of Hanukkah, that's Kohen Gadol with his 8 garments, that's Chashmonaim, that's Neshama, the same letters. It's something bigger and beyond this world. So Yosef HaTzadik says, hold on a second, I know where I come from. I may have been sold by my brothers, I may be in Mitzrayim, I may be in a really difficult Nisayon right now, but I have the ability to attach myself to something bigger. And yes, there are going to be people who say, you can't. This Roman matron said to Rabbi Yossi, it cannot be. And yet we know it's true. We believe it. We believe Rabbi Yossi when he says, if Yosef messed up, the Torah would have said it. The Torah is not trying to cover up a scandal. The Torah is telling us that Yosef HaTzadik was able to go Achutza because he walked in the footsteps of Avram Avinu, who's that world of Achutza. Going beyond Chalalu Sha'olam. That's what Hanukkah is a celebration of. It's hard for us to get it. It's certainly hard for the world to get it. But that's what we're celebrating. We have to think about that. We have to try to connect to that. I was sitting with someone this week, they were telling me, Rebbe, I can't. It doesn't matter what we were talking about. Their punchline was, their conclusion was, I cannot. I said, you can. I can't. I know myself. I said, you don't know yourself. That's like a very pretentious thing to say to them. No, you don't know yourself. I know you better than you know yourself. In other words, I believe in that part of you, that's l'mal menateva, more than you believe it. You obviously know yourself better, and you're seeing your life through a certain lens. But there's something called Lamal Manateva. And I showed him the following part. When Yosef HaTzadik, there is a moment actually where Yosef HaTzadik can't. Where do we find that Yosef can't? He can't hold back from revealing himself to his brothers. The Torah in a couple of weeks from now, Parshas Vayigash tells us in source number 8, V'lo yachol Yosef lis'apik. Yosef couldn't hold back. That moment of the big reveal has arrived. Right? You know, the plot twist at the end of the movie, when Yosef HaTzadik says, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avichai. That shocking moment. Yosef can't hold back anymore. Lo yachol Yosef l'sapik l'chol anitzavim alav, v'yikra hutziu kol yichai. Get everyone out of the room. I just want to be alone with these spies. Of course, his brothers. And he wants to reveal himself to his brothers. There's an unbelievable way to read this pasuk, B'derech Hasidus, from the first Majid Tzarebi, the Divrei Yisrael. Passed away in 1920. An amazing way to read this pasuk. What do we see in these words? We see Yosef can't, he just can't hold back anymore. His eyes are welling up with tears. He needs to reveal himself. Lo yachol Yosef l'sapik. He wasn't able to hold back anymore, and he reveals himself, and that's fine. That was appropriate. But there's a message in this Torah, there's a message in this pasuk in the Torah that's nitzchi, that speaks to us in our moments where we say we can't, and it's the wrong decision. I can't not, you fill in the blank. I need to do this. I can't hold back any longer. Whatever it is. Right? Or I can't do this, it's too hard for me to do this in a positive sense. I can't bring myself to do this thing. So what do we do? What do we say to ourselves in those moments? It says in the Divrei Yisrael in source number 9. V'lo yachol Yosef lis'apik l'chol ha'nitzavim alav. Yesh l'rameis v'lomar. Hamila Yosef hi nimshach v'davok l'mata el hamila lis'apik. I think I mentioned once in the past. I say it jokingly, but it's also half serious. If you want to be a Hasidish Rebbe, you just have to know how to punctuate psukim in a funny way. Just like move the comma around a little bit, you know? Read the words a little bit out of order, and you see unbelievable things. Says the Majid Sarebi, I want to attach the word Yosef to the word Liasapik. I don't want to put the comma after the word Yosef. I want to put the comma right before the word Yosef. In other words, the way I want to read the pasuk, says the Majid Sarebi, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Va'inyan Kachu, he says in the second line, Dihinei Iker Lechol Hadaigos Ha'omd Mal Adam. Why do we have worry? All of our concerns are rooted in this feeling that I can't, it's too hard, it's not possible, right? B'derech HaTeva, it can't be this way, or it has to be this way, and we get stuck in that. So most of our troubles, most of our worries that get in our way, Hushaloya Dorek as Hashah, we feel that the situation demands that it has to be a certain way. And when we feel this tremendous pressure, and we feel that I'm not able to hold out any longer on pursuing something positive or avoiding something negative, it's just not happening. So a person wants to give up. Says the Majid Sarebi, you know what our pasuk says to us? V'lo yachol, when you think you're not able to, comma, Yosef lisapek, continue to hold out. V'lo yachol, you think you're not able to, Yosef, continue. Not Yosef the person. Yosef, continue lisapek. Continue to hold out. Continue to believe. Everyone's laughing at your dreams. Continue to dream. Your Yetzirah is telling you you're going to crack. Tell your Yetzirah, I've got more energy. I'm going to dig deeper. I'm going to enter that world of Achutza. That world of Yosef Atzadik, that world of Avram Avinu. Yosef lisapek. Yischazik es atzmo v'yosef lisapek. When you think it's lo yachol, Yosef lisapek. That's such a sweet part, no? When you think lo yachol, Yosef, you can. You can make it. You can hold on. You can try again. Even after the fact, even after it's done. After a person decided they made the bad choice, right? Or they gave up on the dream. So start dreaming again. Pick yourself up and start dreaming again. You made the bad choice, dust yourself off, and make a better choice next time. The Baba Rebbe before the war, Rebbe Zion, was killed, lost his life at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemah. So Rebbe Zion was sitting with his grandson, Rav Naftali, Naftulcha, as he called him, as a little boy. Would go on to become the Baba Rebbe, and would be a person who helps to rebuild the Hasidus. So he's sitting one time, Chanukah time, they're playing dreidel together. Grandfather and grandson. A little Naftali spins the dreidel. Gimel. Baldik. You know, takes the pot. Spins again. Hey, great, wow. You're doing great, you got good luck. He spins. All of a sudden, he spins the dreidel one time, and before he can see what it lands on, his grandfather puts his hand on top of the dreidel. Covers the dreidel. And his grandson's like trying to pull off his hand, wants to see, you know, what did I get? And he says to his grandson, he says, listen to me. And it was mamash a prophecy of sorts. His grandfather would not survive. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, in life, sometimes the dreidel is a gimel, sometimes it's a hay, sometimes it's a nun, sometimes it's a shin. In life, it lands a lot of different ways. Life ends up a lot of different ways. Different situations end up in different ways. Sometimes you win big, sometimes you lose big. The main thing is not what it landed on this time. The main thing is that you pick up the dreidel and spin it again. A grandfather would lose his life, and a grandson would continue to march by those orders of spinning the dreidel again, of trying to rebuild, to pick himself up after that hell of a tkufa in our history, to pick himself up and to continue to dream and to continue to spin. When everything was lost, it would have been much easier to say, okay, this Hasidus is not going to survive, and maybe the Jewish people is not going to survive. Maybe we should all assimilate. That way, at least they won't kill us. But his grandfather told him, it doesn't matter what the dreidel lands on. The ikkar is that a Jew picks up the dreidel and spins again. V'lo yachol, it's not possible, it can't work. Try again. Pick up the dreidel and spin it again. I shared this story with someone one time. They said to me afterwards, they said, you know, it's interesting. A dreidel actually only stands when it's spinning, when it's moving. In other words, if you want to be able to stand, you got to keep moving, you got to keep trying. If you don't spin the dreidel, then for sure you're going to be down and out. If you spin it, at least there's a chance you'll keep moving. And that's what Rabin Zion was saying to his grandson. Pick up the dreidel and spin it again. When the dreidel falls down, it's what we call in Chassidus, you read the Litzarach Aliyah. It's a descent for the sake of ascent. It doesn't matter what it landed on. Eventually the dreidel falls. Every dreidel falls. It doesn't spin forever. Eventually the dreidel falls down. But you pick it up and you spin it again. And that's part of the message of Chanukah. That's part of the secret of the spinning of the dreidel. To keep trying it, to keep trying it, to keep trying. And to not think, I can't, it's not possible, it's too hard. The Jewish people are lamala min ha-teva. And the Yevanim didn't like that. They didn't like this notion that a tiny army, as Rashi describes in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, could defeat an army of tens of thousands. They didn't like that we even thought we could do such a thing, let alone that we actually did such a thing. They didn't like the thought of us putting oil into a lamp. What's the point? It's going to go out in 24 hours. You're not going to have the menorah. But the Jews said, we're going to try. We're going to do. And guess what? Lamala min ha-teva. The Shemen rose up and it kept burning and it kept burning and it kept burning. Yavan, we know from Chazal, is compared to Choshech. Let's talk about Choshech a little bit. The Medrash says in source number 10, describing the beginning of creation, Va'aretz ha'isa sohu va'vohu va'choshech al p'nei saho, the Medrash says, each of those phrases corresponds to a different exile of Jewish history. Tohu is Babel, Bohu is Madai, Choshech, darkness, refers to Yavan. I read where it's bolded in source number 10. Choshech zegal is Yavan, shechshicha einayim shel Yisrael b'gzeroseyin. They darkened our eyes with their decrees. Shaiso omeris lahem, they declared, kisru al karen ashur, she'ein lechem chelek belukei Yisrael. Right on the horn of an ox, very weird decree, right on the horn of an ox that you don't have a portion in the God of Israel. That was one of their decrees. And they used that as a way of hechshicha einayim, to darken our eyes. What does it mean to darken our eyes? To change our perspective. To not have... Sometimes you see a person, they have like a little sparkle in their eye, you know, a twinkle in their eye, like a glow in their eye. You see light in their eyes. The Yavanim came to darken our eyes, to mess up our perspective. It's interesting that Yavan is compared to Choshech. In Mitzrayim, as we're getting really, really close to getting out of Mitzrayim, we encounter a makkah called Choshech. And the Torah tells us explicitly, it was Choshech for the Egyptians, and it was Or for the Jewish people. It's very Chanukah-dik, no? If you look by the makkah of Choshech, you see something that you don't see by the other makkahs. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Nitei yadcha al hashamayim. Place your hand, how would you translate al hashamayim? Al hashamayim, on the heavens? So like above the heavens? How do you place your hands al hashamayim? I can understand Nitei Yadcha El HaShemayim. I can understand Moshe stretching out his hand Al HaYam by Kriyas Yamsuf. Your hand could be over the Yam. How do you place your hand Al HaShemayim? How do you reach Al HaShemayim? How do you reach above the heavens? And Rashi tells us in Parshas Ve'eron, source number 12, yes, Al HaShemayim, the Pashup Shat, Litzar HaShemayim, reach towards Shemayim. But the Medrash says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up Moshe. Sounds familiar? Just like he picked up Avraham Avinu, and he lifted him l'mal min hashamayim. And through lifting Moshe above the heavens, he brought Choshech on the Egyptians, and he brought Or for the Jewish people. My friends, this has a lot to do with Chanukah. I want to show you an awesome sefer. Maybe you've never heard of it before. It's called the Or of Asimcha, in source 15. Avraham Zatzal was a great tzaddik who lived and died at the turn of the 20th century. He was from a place called Baranov, eventually came to Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, where he spent the last about 10 years of his life. He passed away around 1910, 1915. And he has an amazing sefer on Purim, Chanukah, and Lag BaOmer called Or of HaSimcha. And it's filled with secrets of Torah. It's an awesome sefer. It's an amazing sefer. Look what he writes, look what he shares with us. Because again, we start thinking about this, wait a minute, Al HaShemayim, above the heavens, that's Lamala Menateva. That's very Chanukah dik. Chanukah was a celebration of a miracle that was totally beyond that which was natural. And Choshech, and the Jews had Or, this sounds a lot like Chanukah. Says the Or V'Simcha in Source 15. V'hanes hazeh shal Or HaMenor b'chanukah hayu b'chafei Kislev. All of us know that this Sunday night we enter into Chafei Kislev, a celebration of the menorah. V'noda ki geulas Mitzrayim haya achana l'chol ha-geulos min adalet geulos shal achar. We know that whatever happened to Mitzrayim was foreshadowing the future struggles and the future redemptions of the Jewish people. V'kulam hayu nechlalim ba. And everything is contained in Mitzrayim. Whatever was going to happen in the future already happened on some level in Mitzrayim. So if Choshech is one of the stops towards the end of getting out of Mitzrayim, it's going to correspond to something we experience elsewhere in Galus. Uksiv b'gulas Mitzrayim u'lechol b'nei Yisrael hayor b'moshvo sam. And it says that at that moment that the Egyptians were sitting in the dark, it was the Jewish homes were filled with light. V'yazeh hachana al or shenisrab b'nei Chanukah. And that light against the darkest of backdrops, the thick darkness that Rashi describes over there in Parshas Bo, that thick darkness that the Egyptians couldn't even move, the light the Jews must have experienced at that moment must have been a very powerful light. Must have been an awesome light. Ki lefi ha-medrash, nimtza ki ha-neis ha-zeh shaya-or b'moshvosam, mamish k'mo neis Chanukah hu ha-derech ha-zeh. That whatever we experience on Chanukah is somehow tapping into something we had experienced when we were in Mitzrayim, when we sat in the light, as the Egyptians were literally frozen in place in the darkness. If their darkness wouldn't allow them to move, that means our light has to what? Make us move. Mosif v'holich. Mahadrin min mahadrin. One candle the first night, two the second night, three the... Let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Let's keep trying to get bigger. Let's keep rising up like that oil, no matter how many times you mix it in with the water. It always separates. It always moves up. The flame is always jumping. You can hold your candle upside down. The flame is still trying to rise up. It never quits. It never stops. It's that dreidel that keeps on spinning. K'mavur b'medrash. Look at this. Shekol makah b'mitzrayim hayim mishamish chodesh shalim. Each makah in Mitzrayim took a month. 3 weeks of warning, and then a week of the makah. Haynu ad yom chaf dalet haya hasra. The first 24 days of the month was the warning, the preparation for the Makkah, the introduction that it's going to happen, and the warning to the Egyptians. U'miyom chavdalet hischila ha-makkah zayin yom ad sof ha-chodesh. And the Chazal tells us in the Medrash, the last 7 days of the month was when the Makkah would actually take place. U'v'sefer imrei noam kasav ki ha-makkos hischilu b'chodesh Nisan. The Makkos began in Chodesh Nisan. There were 10 Makkos, but we also left in Chodesh Nisan, so you got to work it out. So let's work backwards for a second. If it started in the Nisan, we have to somehow, there's some break in the middle, we're not sure exactly where that is. But apparently, if we got out in Nisan, that means Makkos Bechoros was in Teves, that means Choshech was in Kislev. Which means, if we do the math, if we follow the steps, apparently what that means for us, he writes 7 lines from the end, V'shach ala Torah kosov, ki machas Choshech ischila bayom, uvalayla shal achrav hayor b'moshvosam. The Shach al Torah writes that the Makkah started by day on the 24th of what? On the 24th of Kislev. And the experience of the Jews basking in the light against that black backdrop took place that following night. Because during the day, the Jews still had the regular light. It was when it got dark and the 25th of Kislev began that the Jews were zocha to a unique type of light. As the Egyptians suffered choshech, the Jews experienced light. So what an unbelievable thing. In Mitzrayim, we were mamish experiencing Chanukah. Im kei nimtza ki makas choshech itzchila chaf dalet bayom. It started on the 24th by day. Uvalayla shal achrav or chafei kislev hayor b'moshvosam. So we were experiencing Chanukah in Mitzrayim. And in case you don't think this is interesting enough, he writes an amazing thing. Look at the last 2 lines. He says, and I can prove it to you with a gematria, for those who believe in gematria. I do. He says, Ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshvosam, as it's written in the Torah. This pasuk, which is describing the unique light that we experienced, again, against that intense darkness that the Egyptians were suffering from in Mitzrayim, on our way out of Mitzrayim, dafka on chafei kislev, he says, if you add up the gematria of Ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshvosam, it's 1706. You can check it. It's the exact same gematria as Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav. the way that we introduce the tefillah, thanking Hashem for the awesome Yontif of Chanukah. What are we saying? It's a nice remez, 1706. We made about this yahu is exactly gematria. But again, the key is not this remez, and the key is not the fact that it's pretty interesting to see that in Mitzrayim and Chafei Kislev we're experiencing or as they experience Choshech. The point I'm trying to make is what the pasuk said. Nete yadcha al hashamayim. Makas Choshech was Moshe Rabbeinu lifting himself above the heavens. It didn't matter how thick that darkness was, Moshe was going to transcend darkness and be able to bring light. Because it was l'malum and ateva. Because it transcended human intellect, human possibility. And Chanukah has to be a Yom Tov where we, the Jewish people, believe that it's possible for us to continue to transcend. The Torah transcends, oil transcends, your neshama transcends. Lo yachol, Yosef lisapi. You can't find a way to keep holding on. Because you can. And you don't know yourself if you say otherwise. That's what Rav Baruch of Mezhbish says. It's hard enough to explain to the world why we do the things we do. They think the Jewish people are so strange and weird and different. But sometimes we ourselves don't even understand the cosmic power inside of ourselves. A final source, the Sfasemis in this week's Parsha. The Sfasemis says, explaining the Gemara in Maseches Yoma. The Gemara says, Yosef Mechayev HaRashayim, Hillel Mechayev Aniyim, Rabbi Elazar Ben Charsom HaAshirim. The Gemara says that at the end of one's life, you're going to stand in judgment. And Hashem is going to say, no excuses. If a person says, I had too many taivas, I couldn't control myself, Hashem is going to say, Yosef, come on out. And Yosef is going to be Machayiv HaRashayim. Yosef was able to find the strength. Why not you? A person says, I was too poor. My financial difficulties made it impossible for me to be an Eved Hashem. Hillel, come on out. The Gemara tells the story, Hillel frozen on the rooftops, trying to listen into Torah, giving away the tiny bit of money that he had to get his way into the base medrash when he had it, and finding creative ways to learn when he didn't have the money. What's your excuse? And Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom, a person says, I'm too rich, I'm the head of a big hedge fund, I have too many other people's money to deal with, I'm too wealthy to sit down and to actually learn a little bit, or to find the time to daven. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsom was exceedingly wealthy, and he became a great rabbi in the Gemara, so why not you? Why can't you become great? What's your excuse? Sfasemis asks a very simple question. V'tzarech bir, kei yitochin sheyomer l'rasha sheyek Yosef atzadik? Very simple question. You say back to God, here's your defense. Okay, ready? Hashem says, why weren't you like Yosef? Because I'm not. I'm not Yosef. What do you want from me, Hashem? I'm Moshe Tzvi. Yosef is Yosef. Hashem says, why weren't you like this one? Why aren't you like that one? Because I'm not. That's not who I am. I don't have to be Avraham Avinu. I don't have to be Sari Meinu. I have to be me. So we say to a Rasha, you should have been more like Yosef at Tzadik. That's so degrading. I'm not Yosef at Tzadik. Who do you think I am, God? It's a strange Gemara. But says the Sfasemis, Achein HaPerish, Ki Eilu HaTzadikim, these tzaddikim went through their nisyonos. Whether it's an Avram nisayon, or it's a Klal Yisrael nisayon, or it's a Yosef Atzadik nisayon, whatever type of nisayon it is, every suffering, every challenge that we went through in history, what we read about in the Torah, they were tzaddikim who were paving the way for us. Kedei lachin derech l'chol adoros. In other words, once Yosef did it, you can do it too. You can do it too. Once it became a possibility, because a Jew did it, that becomes part of Jewish history. We can all do it. If Avram was able to go beyond the stars, to get out of his mazel, then ain mazel Yisrael, then no Jew has mazel. If Yosef could refuse a sinful act when it was really hard, then every Jew can do it. And don't say you can't. Lo yachol Yosef lesapik. Continue to hold on. It's possible. It is possible. And therefore, yes, Hashem is going to say to us at the end of our life, once it became part of Jewish history, if you make an excuse, that means you simply didn't know yourself. You didn't realize that you're l'mala min ha'teva. You didn't realize you come from that world of Chanukah, that world of miracles, the world of possibilities. And when everyone else says no, a Jew says, yes, I can. When the Yetzer Hara says, yes, you can, you say, I'm not allowed to, because I'm not allowed to. Hashem said, I can't. And I'm gonna fight for that. So I give us a bracha. As you stand by the menorah, as you're watching that flame jumping, as you're watching that oil rising, many have a minug. It's not just because they're cheap and they want to, you know, save oil. There's a minug to dafka, put the oil on top of a little bit of water to remind yourself that we represent that world of l'mal min ha'teva. To be a little bit bigger, a little bit beyond. To remember that it's possible for us to rise up. To understand what the Yavanim were fighting. They didn't like the notion that a Jew is transcendent, but too bad, that's who we are. And give us a bracha, we should know who we are. We should be able to feel that in a really, really deep way. And then, Amir Hashem, to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu the nachas of being the awesome people that we're supposed to be. Hope everyone has a wonderful Hanukkah.